Ah, yes, continuing from where we left off yesterday, I suppose. Welcome to Pinder and Steinberg, with no Pinder or Steinberg. It's Peter Klein, Logan Gordon, and Riley Pollock with you on a dreary, yucky, rainy, gross day, at least here in just outside of downtown Calgary. Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Doing well, despite all this this rain. It's been a wet summer so far. I don't really know how I feel about it. I know Riley's disappointed because his slow pitch game got knocked off the schedule, but other than that, I think it's all right. Riley, you're doing okay despite your night changing on your birthday?
Yeah, it's all right. I'll just go to Earl's and drink a bunch of happy hour drinks instead, so we'll be okay.
There you go. Happy birthday to Riley.
Yeah, give yourself a round of applause there, Riley.
Oh, you guys. If I
Come
can
on.
Find the crowd of play.
Another year.
You guys are too kind.
It concerns me that the show is so bad that you've forgotten where the applause button is. Like, we've had so few applause-worthy things.
Well, I feel like the applause was, like, red or yellow before. Now it's gray, so it just doesn't catch your eye on the page anymore.
Ooh. Gray on the page is a bit of a tricky one, because you just assume gray is, like, out, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, gray's a little... Inside baseball. Welcome to the show, everyone. We'll talk about actual things, maybe. Can we change those? Do we know how to change the color on those?
Yeah, I'm the one that did all that.
Yeah, logo's got to do that. That's way past my pay grade. I do not mess around with the hotkeys pages at all. I let Logan handle that situation.
I was proud of myself to learn, like, how to put things on it and stuff like that, but that was the extent of it. Beyond that, I don't know how to color code anything. So I'm glad we have logo there to help out with that.
Yeah, I'll get around to it one of these days. I'll just make a note, fix applause button to different color or something like that. And
so Riley,
I'll see what we can do.
It.
Well, one of these days when I find myself back at our downtown studio, so.
Well, hopefully soon. I mean, you've been back there a little bit, obviously, producing and whatnot. But now on the hosting side of things, not so much. Maybe one day we'll all be back in studio once again. And a way that would help that is if the NHL were to come back. And we are getting closer to finding out where the NHL could be coming back. We are down to, according to reports, down to four candidates for hub cities. That would be Toronto, Edmonton, Chicago, and Las Vegas. I would suggest Toronto and Edmonton are the only logical spots based on what's going on just a bit south of us. But my money would be on Toronto and Vegas. Logo, do you have a preference or a prediction on this?
I think preference-wise, you have to think if safety is the priority that Edmonton and Toronto top the list out. And not to mention with a Canadian dollar being, you know, significantly hurt through all of this. Speaking from an economic standpoint, you know, the NHL has talked about in these bubbles, you know, having a couple restaurants, at least a couple hotels, you know, some sort of small entertainment stuff for the players to help, you know, keep them entertained through what could be, you know, a couple months in a bubble type situation. So there's, I'd say, a decent economic impact to having it in one of these cities too. So I wouldn't mind seeing some of that money being spent in Canadian cities. I do wonder, as we see more and more delays with the Toronto Blue Jays situation and how Major League Baseball is planning on having them handle travel and that sort of stuff, I wonder how negotiations are going with Ontario in that regard, because it feels like Toronto would be a slam dunk for that, but maybe their health system just isn't okay with how the NHL wants to handle it. I do think Edmonton is becoming more and more forward as things, you know, progressively get worse in Vegas. But we'll see. The fact that we're down to four means that we're very, very close to actual dates and schedules and that sort of stuff. And I would say that Toronto and Edmonton should be the front runners, at least for me, going forward.
Yeah, and I understand, like, wanting one in the East and one in the West, people getting concerned that there would be some kind of home ice advantage. I think that is overthinking things tremendously. I get, like, you would be familiar with the locker room, but after, like, 3 days, that kind of goes away. Like, there's nothing, there isn't going to be anything normal. It's not like the home team gets to go home. Everyone's going to be in this bubble, as far as I understand, anyway. So I think any semblance of home ice advantage, I don't even think the team's logo is going to be painted on the ice. I would assume it would be some form of NHL logo. So I think any kind of home ice advantage, that conversation can kick rocks.
Yeah, and to be honest, we're talking about a made-for-TV thing. We're not talking about fans here anyways. To have an Eastern and a Western time zone through all of this just makes more sense from an NHL standpoint when they're trying to get as many viewers in as possible. You don't want the, you know, your premier teams like the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Boston Bruins, all those sort of teams playing in time zones that just don't work for their fans to watch them. You want to get as many eyes to the TVs for these events as you possibly can. I think there'll be big numbers regardless, but don't put yourself in a position, you know, to mess around with fans being able to watch it at a reasonable time and a time that they're used to through all of this. So I agree that the home ice advantage things isn't relevant. If you were, you know, home ice advantage, you'd be staying in your home or your condo or wherever, not in a hotel with the rest of your teammates as this thing goes on. So you might know a few things more than anybody else, but other than that, it's not going to be much difference for anybody else. So it just happens that it's going to be Edmonton and Toronto because they're the safest and most viable for these tournaments to be played.
And hearing reports, and I don't know how viable these are. We are in Calgary. It's easy to take pot shots at Edmonton. A lot of times they give us a lot of ammunition. But the suggestion that players don't want to go to Edmonton because it's Edmonton, I don't get that. Like, you're going to be from the hotel to the rink, you know? Like, there's only so much variance. I understand, like, being in a bubble in Vegas would be pretty dope. Like, if you could go to some of the restaurants they have attached to the hotels that are close to the arena and things of that nature, that would be pretty sweet. Aside from that, I haven't been to all of the team hotels. I'm going to guess there isn't a wide variance from one to the other. You're going from hotel to rink to hotel to rink to maybe a couple restaurants. I don't think it matters what the extracurricular life could be like in one of these spots. I think you really just have to focus on what's going to be safest.
No, and I mean, look, they're going to, regardless of where it is, they're going to, you know, it's not like they're going to just be like, oh, well, you guys have access to McDonald's and A&W, or that's it. You know, I'm pretty sure if they're going to put a couple restaurants in the bubble and all that sort of stuff, that they'll have a pretty good, you know, selection of restaurants. Is it Edmonton? Sure. Maybe the restaurants in Vegas significantly better? Yeah, maybe. But, you know, it's very minimal things at this point anyways. They're still going to try to give you the best experience that they can while you're there. And you know what? Yes, as much fun as it is to poke fun at Edmonton and we bother and all that stuff, Edmonton in July and August and September is still significantly better than Edmonton in December or January or anything else like that. You know, then you're really talking about, you know, crappy temperatures and not a lot of fun to be there. At least you're there in the summer, the trees are green, everything else like that. You know, there's worse places to be.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
and not to mention the brand new arena.
Yeah, with a hotel like attached to it. And again, brand new hotel too. It's not like they're staying in the place that Matty Rose stayed at for the Grey Cup. Like, it's, you're going to be in probably pretty good accommodations. So it's just, there's a whole lot to these discussions that I feel is just like, why do you care? Like, what, as long as you're going to be safe, who cares if you're going to be spending 3 months in Edmonton or 3 months in Chicago? Spoiler alert, if you're worried about what life is going to be like in those places, maybe you aren't going to be there anyway that long. Most of you are only going to be there for a couple of weeks. And if you're so focused on what the hotel is going to be like, I'm going to suggest you're probably going to be in that few week category. So, and it's just the main focus of every one of these return to sports conversations needs to be, can we do this safely? Anything that you're worried about beyond that is really stuff you shouldn't be worrying about. I understand there is a certain lifestyle that comes with being a National Hockey League player, but things are a little different right now, and the most important lifestyle aspect of anything should be get them safe.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head as far as the actual time there. Like, when we talk about a bubble situation, and this will be something that we talk to Chris Johnson about in the next our segment, our NHL Insider, is there's only going to be a few teams, you know, that are really there for a couple months. And at that point, you're going to be dialed in on a Western or an Eastern Conference final, and then you may have to travel to the other hub city for the Stanley Cup final, depending on how that all works out at the end of it. So there might be some travel mixed in there, and you know, you're only going to be there at the end if you're very close to a Stanley Cup, which I would say for most of these guys is pretty important and something that they'd be willing to stay in a hotel for a few weeks to get to that point. So the complaining and the, oh, it's, you know, going to be so hard to, you know, stay in a hotel. If you're there for that long, good things are probably happening to you and you probably won't mind.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're there to do a job, you know? And again, there are going to be certain aspects of this. Like, you can't just be focused on NHL all the time. There does have to be at least some form of extra life beyond that. And I get that, but it's just, I don't know. I find the whole conversation weird. But with this, and with it being empty arenas, regardless of what the arena is, this is going to look a lot different on TV and sound a lot different on the radio than what we are used to. Is there, and we'll bring Riley into this conversation, someone who I believe enjoys what the kids call Chell, which is just the most annoying abbreviation anything can ever give, aside from the stupid Durs thing that Riley also calls the writers. But I digress. Yeah, that, apparently I feel passionately about that. I didn't even know that was coming. But anyway, as far as what these games look like, what are some changes or some creative measures that you would like to see some of the TV broadcasts come? We'll start with Riley.
I mean, it's not going to happen because players don't want it, but the mic'd up thing would be unbelievable. If you if like two or three players on each team were mic'd up, that would be sweet, but it's not going to happen. I don't know. I think you just kind of keep the game the same, in my opinion. Are they going to use that puck tracking technology that they were on pace to use for playoffs this year? I mean, that would be kind of sweet, but maybe they've gone away from that because of all of this COVID stuff. So maybe some of that technology, and I'm good. I'm easy. I just want to see some hockey.
That's fair. And I think that's going to be the reaction from a lot of people, is just get this thing out on the ice. And you're not going to have like the, why am I blanking on the weird puck tail thing, the light up puck that you had from Fox Sports broadcast back in the day and stuff like that. You're not going to have that stuff, but I would love to see them get creative with camera angles. I would love to see them try to have that, because you don't need the Jumbotron down for, I think, pretty obvious reasons. You can have a roving camera that is over the top that makes this thing look like NHL 2000 or NHL 20. I think there are ways you can get creative with this logo. What about you?
Yeah, I'm big on the camera angle thing because the NHL is one of those leagues that, you know, is very specific. It's almost like basketball, too. They're kind of restricted in where they can place cameras and what they can do with shots, because you don't want to be obstructing fans, especially fans that are paying really good money for, you know, good sight lines for games. You don't want to piss them off by having a camera in the way of their shot the whole time. So this is a really good chance for them to try out some different things. So I think that I'm with you on the camera thing. I know, Raleigh, you mentioned the players being mic'd up, and I'm with you. I don't think it'll happen. I do think we'll get more of that aspect. I think we are going to wind up hearing more of what the players say and a little bit more of that chit-chat, just regardless, because we have empty arenas and that sort of thing. I'd be interested to see. The one thing I do like, and it's, I guess you could do it in hockey, I don't see why you couldn't, the NLL plays music during play, and I don't know why you couldn't do that for the NHL. Maybe there's a copyright thing to it or something like that, but, you know, get some music going, get some atmosphere going while the game is on. It's not like you got fans to worry about in the building, so I would like to see them try some new stuff with this, though. There's no better time than now.
Yeah, I like the music thing. Like you watch a lacrosse game, and that's a big part of the atmosphere. And an NBA game as well. Having been to a couple of those, it's a lot of fun. Well, when you get the music going the whole time, and when things, yeah, it adds to the atmosphere. And when you don't have crowds involved necessarily, I think it's a good time to mess around with that. As far as the mic stuff goes, I don't think we're ever going to get that because trash talk, like there's some awful aspects of trash talk. And I think especially now, there would be a lot of people that would just associate all of that with just that player. And it's a tricky line to walk for sure. So I don't think they would do that. I would love, and I don't think we're going to get this because you're trying to limit the amount of people going into that bubble, and sending a documentary crew in there for 3 months wouldn't be the best thing. But we've seen with the Last Dance and people gushing about the Formula One documentary that's on Netflix that I think is going into their third season. People love that sort of behind the scenes access. If you could get kind of quick turnaround on some of this stuff and do like a weekly heavily edited thing where you have a lot, like basically like a 24/7, I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm with you. A Hard Knock style version would be really cool. I am with you, though. I doubt that interested in letting more people in than they have to, but it would be an interesting look in when we don't really know what any of this is going to be like for all of these teams and every day, that sort of stuff. An inside look would be interesting, and I wonder, you know, maybe down the road if we what we see from that comes from this as a look back, but it certainly would be interesting. I those shows have always been popular with me. I love Hard Knocks.
Yeah, and I just think because this is such a unique situation, maybe you get players to open up a little bit more, but I think those 24/7s that they did with NHL teams, and they still do them, they're not called 24/7 anymore because it's not with HBO, but I think those behind-the-scenes things are incredibly insightful, and I think with people just dying for content right now, it'll be a bit different when sports are back, but I think that would be a lot of fun. I'm curious as to what the text line may say about this. 960-960, what are some changes you would like to see made to NHL broadcasts as we head into a very unique time in the NHL? What about crowd noise being pumped in? I find it a little cringy. I don't like it. I remember when I was working in TV and having to put highlight packs together, if there was a broadcast for whatever reason that didn't have crowd noise, like if we just got B-roll from it, we would have to put our own crowd noise behind it, and it just sounds like the worst. And it's so fake and so phony. I don't know if I'm on board fully with just crowd noise being pumped in. What about you guys?
Yeah, I probably would pass on that myself. It's hard. It's so difficult to, I think, I don't even want to say fairly, but even just accurately represent crowd noise. You know, it's hard for someone in a studio situation or, you know, an audio truck or whatever to anticipate how crowds react and when they're, you know, when they're going to be loud or when they're going to do all of that stuff.
All right, we're losing Logo.
I
Riley,
can't
can we,
really...
All right, so technology, we were able to hold off technology for a day yesterday, but technology is coming on very, very strong today. So that's a little frustrating, but either way, we will work our way through it at here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. This is Pinder and Steinberg. Welcome to the show. Should mention today we have Chris Johnson coming on the air at 2:30 as we continue to work our way toward finding out what hub cities are and trying to figure out a lot of stuff in a COVID-19 world. So we'll chat with him coming up at 2:30. At 3 o'clock, Peter Labardia stops by. The draft lottery was awesome. It was crazy. How does it affect the draft? A number of different storylines to go through with Peter Labardia is coming up at 3 o'clock. And then we'll have some free agency talk because tomorrow was supposed to be the start of NHL free agency if we were living in normal times. Obviously, that is not the case, but still want to look at some potential free agents, where they might land, specifically when it involves the Calgary Flames. Your texts always welcome, 960-960. A couple of these. Isn't there any way for fans to cheer into the app and broadcast all the fans live? The problem would be, A, you might get a couple not great things come through on that, but also if there's any kind of lag at all, that would be, it would just sound awkward. You would need it to be perfect. I don't mind the idea, but you would need that to be absolutely 100% perfect. You would need a crowd noise DJ with different levels of crowd reaction. Yeah, you wouldn't want to have someone who has an itchy trigger finger. It's like an over-exuberant play-by-play guy who absolutely loses his mind on a relatively easy save in the second period. You don't want a guy who is just, like, absolutely spamming, crowd goes wild, on, like, a body check or a chance that goes wide or something like that. You would need one of those soundboards to be pretty on the ball. Music isn't for possession changes too much, unlike basketball and lacrosse, which play music during play, in my opinion. And that's, I mean, it is a different pace for sure. If you played music the whole time, I wonder if that just becomes noise after a while. But I do think you're going to need something, aside from just the sounds of the skates on the ice and the pucks bouncing off the boards and things of that nature. I think you would need a little bit of ambiance, aside from that and just the buzz of arena lights and things of that nature. Apparently, we have defeated technology, at least for now. Logo, are you back?
I believe I'm here again. Do I sound okay, Pete?
For now, yes. You sound delightful, sir. Thank you for coming back. We were just going through a couple texts. Someone suggesting we need to pipe in the crowd noise from NHL 94. I've heard the NBA talking about bringing in some like NBA 2K crowd noise. I mean, they have it relatively authentic in that game, so maybe you could figure it out that way. But I'd be down for a little NHL 94 crowd noise. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, I mean, I think the novelty of it might wear off for a little bit because it is so old school, but I mean, yeah, I guess the video game aspect I never really thought about, that they're getting better and better with getting that stuff accurate to when you're playing. So I wonder if they could apply that to live action. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that would work. Again, you would need someone who is pretty on the ball with things, and you would need someone who is, again, we don't want the itchy trigger finger. I was saying before, while you were fighting with technology, you don't need the crowd goes wild on a chance that goes just wide. If you're going to have crowd noise, it needs to be authentic to the crowd noise of an NHL game. Otherwise, it would get distracting and stupid.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess the fact of the matter is we have to ask, do people even care? Like, do people want that? Is that something that we're going to miss? Is it something that the players feel they need? Like, or are we just talking about something that we know isn't going to be there and we'd like to have? I don't know that it's something we need to have.
Yeah, I'm with you, but it's a lot of conversations for sure. And it's whatever they figure out, it's going to be different as we roll into potentially the start of the 2020 Stanley Cup playoffs.